All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone today? Good Sunday to you guys. How's everyone feeling? We got a good spot. Everyone got their favorite spot. Some of you need shade, a little bit of sun. I feel that. All right. Thank you for being here. Hey, welcome to Bird Park Community Church. My name is Reed. It is a beautiful, beautiful day today. Is it still winter? Have we moved into spring yet? Man, we get spring early here on Catalina, and it feels great. Hey, welcome. If you haven't already, check out the little QR codes on each table. You can scan those with your phone and actually follow along in the lyrics, Spanish and English today. I just want to put out there, we just had an annual meeting a couple weeks ago, and we just got to see how the Lord has blessed us over the last year and how we are moving forward in 2021 in faith and trust and what God can do for our church. We've already seen amazing blessings of unity and just being blessed. I don't know if you guys have felt that when you come here, but we are in a great season right now. And we just want to encourage you guys as we go forward in 2021 to continue giving of yourselves faithfully to the church. And this could be so many ways. I know, just practically speaking, if you have a skill set and you want to use it at the church, we'll take you. If it's like organization or little projects, construction, anything, we will take it, all right? And if you don't have any skill sets, we'll find you one, okay? So we love to have your help there. Just there's a lot going on at the church, and if you have anything to bring, we love it. And obviously, that also means in the financial givings as well. We thank you for your continued faithfulness and giving there. It is paying off in spades. We are really in a great season right now. So that being said, I just want to say, this is a great season to be in as things are kind of changing, right? We're moving into spring. The island is coming to life again. And I've just realized just how faithful God has been and how much I've been encouraged by that and how much I can go forward in this season. Usually I'm kind of like dreading it. I'm like, man, winter's almost over. I love winter. When it gets busy, things get a little more stressful sometimes. And I like the pace sometimes of winter. But this season, I find myself really expectations and expectant and looking forward to it. So as the band comes up, I just want to put this out here. This is out of Hebrews 11. Just found this encouraging. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Amen. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Amen. Amen. Also, happy birthday to Brian. Woo! Woo! All right, let's worship.
Thanks, Reed. It's so great to be outside here with you guys again. Thankfully, the wind is holding itself off a little bit over here for us this morning, which is great. And it's just so much fun to worship with you all out in nature here in God's creation, God's handiwork. It just moves my heart to just want more of him and to just love on him. And so let's do that this morning. Again, as you're comfortable singing, standing, sitting, move around as you need to. Let's glorify his name in this place. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. Call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You call my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Consider these words this morning.
I need rescue. My sin is heavy, but the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're
by you, and every soul has seen what you
And have the posture of our heart that way this morning, just open for God to speak, God to move. And the beauty is this song is just such a wonderful song. I just love it as like really it's almost like the prayer of God over me, just his invitation to enter in, to really come to him in everything, in every way, come to him. He's just ready to just move right into the heart spaces in our life. And so let's do that this morning as we just prepare our hearts and worship. Let's come to him.
I am the Lord your God, and I go before you now. I stand beside you. I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your more than you know. And I am the Lord your peace. No evil will come. Steady now your heart and mind. Come into my rest. Don't let your faith arise. Lift up your weary head. I am with you wherever you go. So come. To me, I'm all you need. Don't look to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on me. You will not be shaken. You will not be moved. No. I am the hand to hold. I am the truth. I am the way. Just come to me. Come to me. Cause I'm all that you need.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Buenos dias. A scripture that Pastor Ron is going to share, una escritura que Pastor Ron va a compartir, is found in Luke chapter 4, in Lucas 4. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then the devil taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And so then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give you his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And we see here that Jesus understands and understood the temptations that we, as people, go through.
Vemos aquí en estas escrituras que Jesucristo supo cómo es a tener la experiencia de las tentaciones de este mundo.
We see that no matter what we go through as people, that God is with us, like we just sang. He is with us. And he's been with us this whole time.
Sobre ese tiempo del pandemia, sabemos que el Señor ha estado con nosotros. Esa es la promesa que nos ha dado, como cantamos ahorita.
And so we recognize that when we follow after God, when we go with him, that we recognize that he has actually been with us all along.
Una de las cosas que descubriéramos que cuando tratamos de andar con él, encontramos que él siempre estaba con nosotros desde el principio. Nunca nos va a dejar.
He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so as we come together in worship, in prayer, and through the scriptures, just recognize that he's with you right now. And he goes before you. He knows your tomorrow. He knows how this thing's going to end, how it's going to go. Nothing surprises him. He is who he said he was. And we can rest in that.
Sabemos que cualquier cosa que suceda, mañana o siguiente, sabemos que Dios está con nosotros. Jesucristo está con nosotros. Y él sabe cómo las cosas van a correr. Y podemos tener la confianza que él va a estar con nosotros. Y va a preparar nuestro corazón para lo que él tiene.
We know that he will prepare our hearts for the future that he has in mind. And so let's just go with him. Focus on him as we continue with the songs. Keep our hearts on him. Amen?
Amen. Here's Enrique.
Thank you. sun in the sky. You command the waters and the wind. There's not one thing you're not greater than. Greater than the mountain that's in front of me. You are greater, so much greater. Greater than the power of the enemy. You are greater, so much greater. Faithful over all of my days. You're God above the storms that I face. My hope is in your name and nothing less. There's not one thing you're not greater than. Greater than the great I am. No fear, no grave, no other name is greater than
proclaim
the great
that.
I am. No guilt, no shame, no sin, no stain is greater than the great I am. No fear, no grave, no other name is greater than the great I am. No guilt, no shame, no sin, no stain is greater than the great I am. No fear, no grave, no other name.
Yeah. mi rezo y él me rescató, su gracia en mí. Aún siendo yo pecador, él murió por mí, él murió por mí, libre soy.
God's children said, amen. Amen to that. God bless.
Good morning, Bird Park Community Church, or Bird Park Church, back at its usual perch up here at Bird Park. And we want to give the band a great hand because they not only get here early and set some of this up and do all of the leading, but they are worshiping themselves, and you can see it as they're up here. And that's good guidance for us. It's good for us to be able to see as well. Amen? I love, Reed, you're right. This is amazing. It's hard to believe that it isn't spring. I mean, we have not only spring-like, but almost summer temperatures for today. It'll be in the 70s. I think it's already getting close there, and thank you, God, for the wind being abated, at least for now. Notice I stand up and it starts picking up. That makes sense. How many of you remember a kind of a classic individual here from Avalon named Jack Dieter, otherwise known as Jack the Painter? Jack and I became actually pretty good friends. He's an amazing man. He was the house painter, well, a house painter. But now, and that's doing him disservice, isn't it? He was a painter. And he would paint some beautiful paintings as well. During Christmas time, what was his call to glory here? He did the windows around town and all the shops with all the Christmas scenes and all the Santa Clauses and what have you. And that was kind of neat. So he was here in winters, but shortly after winter or after Christmas, he'd usually take off. I remember one time talking with him about that. He goes, yeah, I confess that I usually take off. I don't like being over here in the island during this that time, the end of winter, early spring, because that's when the rains do come. When the rains do come, and please pray for rain. And he says it ruins my painting, not my paintings, but my house painting jobs. He said, I have another thing to confess to you. I used to thin my paints. I said, I don't want to hear this, especially because we had him paint the church one time. He said, I used to thin my paints, but I had this incident one time when I was painting a church, which will remain anonymous. And as I was up on the scaffolding, close to finishing, all of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and this rain came down, and it just poured. And it knocked me off the scaffolding into the garden, and it washed a vast majority of the paint off the church, which kind of busted me. But I was frightened. I was totally scared out of my wits. And so I got on my knees and I prayed, "Oh God, forgive me. And what should I do?" And he said, a voice came from heaven that said, "Repaint and thin no more." Now, the truth is, Jack did actually tell me that story, because he was quite a funny guy. He also was a big guy. Remember him? I think he painted houses by picking them up and turning them around. I mean, he was very well fit. But anyway, I miss Jack. Jack knew that was a warning from God, for sure. And this beautiful day is a blessing from God, for sure. And I want to welcome you all to Lent. How many of you knew this is the first Sunday in Lent? How many of you knew by seeing somebody walking around with some ash on their forehead last Wednesday? Yeah, actually, I was curious how many people in line for their shots actually had smudges on their forehead, and it kind of reminded me, oh, that's right, this is Ash Wednesday. We don't get the usual reminder of what Tuesday is it, Fat Tuesday or something in New Orleans? Because that was banned again this year. But we've got Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday means that another Lenten season has begun. And that, for me, is a time of great joy, actually. Even in this particular time, it's an opportunity for growing deeper in our spiritual lives. That opportunity has been given to us again, and it's my prayer that all of us will be able to take time during this particular period that's set aside for that to do just that, to grow in our spiritual faith. And that takes time. Learn to live life more deeply, which means more fully as possible. And that's what Lent is actually all about. It's kind of interesting. I didn't say lint. Okay, lint is what's captured, you know, we'll say in your dryer, in that little thing, among other places. It's Lent. And it's interesting that these times that we have before the special times, Christmas and Easter, they both end in ENT, right? I don't know why I said that. It's just kind of fascinating. You got Advent and you have Lent. But it's to help us understanding the meaning of Jesus Christ, not just his life, but also his death. And to kind of think about that, focus on that death, so that when the time comes for resurrection at the end of Lent, in what was called what? Easter, yes, then we will be able to celebrate most fully that precious, precious, precious time of the year. And so, Father, through our observance of Lent, help us to understand, yes, the meaning of your son's death and resurrection, and teach us to reflect that in the way that we live during this particular time and throughout our time here on earth. We pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So what is Lent? Huh? Some of you, I'm sure, know. Others are saying, well, again, I thought it was that stuff that was in my dryer. But no, it is an important season. It's not about, no, the second chance that we have to keep the New Year's resolutions we made. That's actually what I heard somebody say one time. No, it's not really about giving something up either, really. When you think about it, things that we like or things that we are used to doing, it's not the act of giving up. It's the act of making way, kind of putting aside or letting go. You know, there may be place for some kind of self-sacrifice during Lent, yes. And the more that you understand what Lent is about, the more that you have grown spiritually, the more perhaps that self-sacrifice will be meaningful during this particular time. But it's only if that self-sacrifice is done with the hope of receiving a gift from God, putting things aside so that you can receive God's gift more fully. You know, when you think about it, how do you feel when you give a gift and the gift isn't accepted? Or the gift really isn't received, right? It's not grabbed and ripped open, like from your grandchild, or it's put off to the side and just kind of ignored. Well, how much do we do that with God's greatest gift? And this is a time where we can take that gift and enjoy it most fully, and should enjoy it most fully. And that is pleasing to God. So it's not about making our lives miserable as a form of retribution, giving up binging on our favorite dessert or binging on our favorite movie. It's about giving up something that keeps us from God or keeps us from time with others whom we love, that God would desire us share our time and share our love with, who perhaps do need us, do need to feel God's love through us. So officially, Lent is in the Christian calendar a period of 40 days before Easter. And since it did begin last Wednesday, that's 5 days ago, Ash Wednesday, that means how many days do we have left? 35. And actually, that's not true. Because Easter is April 4th, Sunday, April 4th, that gives us 43. So we actually have more time to devote to giving time to God, more time to actually empty ourselves. And yes, I did say empty ourselves, because that's kind of the thing I would like us to feel, kind of what I would like us to picture in our minds, empty ourselves of things that keep us too busy to meet with God, keep us too busy to meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, too busy to actually do ourselves any good. And that's part of the reasons why we keep ourselves busy, so that we don't have to think about ourselves all that much. It's true, beloved, too many of us have allowed ungoverned, uncontrolled, constant activity to push out all of the available space, all of the needed space, any extra space in our lives, filling our lives up with too many things to do, too much food and drink, too much entertainment, too much shopping. For many of us, yes, too much work. You can make your own list. And when then something does go wrong, we realize that these things are not helping us, and they will not help us, and they cannot help us to correct that wrong. And we look around, and it's in those times that we ask, "So where are you, God?" Putting all the blame on him, when actually those should be the times we realize most. We haven't given him the time, right? We haven't given him the space. And yes, God does want us to pay attention to our desires. He wants us to pay attention to our needs, not our shallow desires, no. He wants us to pay attention to the deepest desires, those that we do actually need, that he's conscious of, and he's the one that can only meet the most. Love, compassion, forgiveness, peace, quiet, yeah, even mystery, the mystery of God. In other words, God wants to give us all the gifts that we really need in order to live the loving and God-filled lives that all of us really do want to live if we take the time to really ask ourselves, what's important? What do we really need? But we haven't taken that time. We haven't developed a practice of realizing those things. Matter of fact, we practice hard not to realize them. We don't want to face them. Many times in our lives, we feel like we don't have the control. We feel like a puppet on a string. We want to break free, but we really don't know how. Or we're afraid to cut the strings, because then what? We don't trust God. We don't trust God in us. How many know the Serenity Prayer? And if you know it, say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And all God's people said. And unless we take time to do that, it's not going to be applicable to our lives, right? You can say the words. And we often do. We say a lot of words. We don't put them into practice, however, do we? In order to gain control over our lives, we need to let go of bad patterns that we have in our lives. And we know the bad patterns. We're just afraid to let go of them. For some reason, we cling to them. We find our confidence or reassurance or what? It's crazy. What patterns am I talking about? Well, some of these. The pattern of hanging out with toxic people. It's amazing how we do that often. And why? Because toxic people, they cause worries, they cause violence, they cause revenge, they cause us guilt, they cause us to judge and be judged. And the list goes on. What we need to do is keep those people away. Unplug from them, plug into others that are going to help us with other feelings, feelings of compassion, feelings of forgiveness, calmness, peace. What about worry, a pattern of worry? Worry is useless. Being cautious is not, but worrying is. We can't prevent bad things from happening by worrying. We all know that. So why do we do it so much? As a matter of fact, what we do realize is that we can actually cause things that we don't want to happen by worrying, right? By worrying. What about violence, a pattern of violence? It tears us up inside. We're seeing more and more of it in the time we apply to ourselves to like the television or other things. It's a lot of violence today. We really have to let it go. Dr. Martin Luther King, for all human conflict to end, man must evolve a method that rejects revenge, rejects aggression, rejects retaliation. And the biblical foundation of such a method is love. He talks about revenge. That's another pattern. Revenge may be good in certain instances, very few, but not the eye for an eye type. That just makes us the same as those who have attacked us, right? And that we want revenge against. It just lowers us to that level. If it feels good to give people a taste of their own medicine, you're realizing I'm not really any different than that person who is hurting me if I want to hurt them. Guilt isn't a imposed feeling. It comes as a consequence of wrong actions. We either impose it on ourselves because of our sinful action, or others impose it on us because they feel what we did was wrong, especially if it was to them. And yeah, they love to guilt trip us about that. What about high expectations? Pattern of high expectations. You can have expectations. Yes, we all should. We all need to, but be careful of placing them too high and thinking that you can make them happen all on your own. You place your expectations in the right hands, God's hands, yes. That's the highest they need to be, right? In the hands of the highest. Here's a good one, jealousy, pattern of jealousy. Another one that eats us up inside. You know what the best way is to get rid of jealousy? Use it as a good force. Use it as a catalyst. Turn those that you're jealous of into role models, because if the truth be known, that's how you actually are looking at them. You want to be like them, right? That's why you are jealous. It says that God is a jealous God, but he is jealous for us. He's not jealous of us. He doesn't want to be like us. He would like us to be jealous of him and be like him, Jesus Christ, the same way. We need to be jealous for Jesus. I like that. Maybe I'll make a new bracelet or something. Pleasing others. There's another pattern we got to break out of. Forget about pleasing others. Remember, Enrique, couple of Sundays ago? Forget about it. I especially love the way Santa says it. Santa, please. Forget about it. Forget about it. She makes it sound like it's a good thing. Yeah, and it is. It's a joyful thing. Forget about it. Forget about pleasing others, because there's only one you have to please, and who's that? Focus on that one. Don't ever forget that one. But forget the rest. You're not here to please people. We are here to please God. And the last one is judging others, right? Judging others' people or other people. Pleasing others is tightly connected with both judging people and having false morals. We judge people because they don't fit our vision of what we think they should look like, speak like, behave like, think like. And the biblical truth is, if we don't want to be judged, we have to stop judging. Amen? We have to stop judging. And for some of us, that's really hard. Some of us are thinking that we're righteous judges because people are not acting the way the Bible says. Well, in so doing, guess what? You're not acting the way the Bible says. So be very, very careful of judging. Some people believe that holding and hanging on to some of these, if not all of these patterns, is actually a sign of strength. Unbelievable, but they do. But in so doing, we're not allowing more beneficial things from helping us to live more godly lives, allowing God into our lives so that he can live through us properly, right? And appropriately. So, Pastor Ron, how does this story of the wilderness temptation of Jesus, how do we connect Enrique standing up here with that passage? Well, first of all, that passage is the Lenten passage. It's the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness that we are thinking about, that we are kind of mimicking, that we are jealous of, taking those 40 days for ourselves and doing what he did. And that is to think about God, think about his place with God. And boy, at this time of his life, that was very powerful thoughts, right? Beginning of his ministry. He had just been baptized. He had just been literally declared to the rest of the world by the dove and the voice of God, his Father, saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And then it says that the Spirit filled him and took him out into the wilderness. The temptation that were all, the temptations of Jesus are all about one thing. They were all about one thing, trying to get Jesus to live the world's way, or the devil trying to get Jesus to live the devil's way. What does that have to say about the devil's way and the world's way? And the prince of this world. Huh? But it was trying to get Jesus to live the way of the world instead of God's way. And that makes his temptations no different than any of ours. And it makes his temptations no different than any of our struggles. And it brings that time that he took more appropriately into times that we need to take as well. Nothing is easier than to live lives totally immersed in our everyday activities, but nothing is worse for us. It's easy because we're already glued into it, right? We're already controlled by it. We just have to get up and allow ourselves to continue that control, to get into that bad flow. But it is bad, and it's bad for us as well. We give little thought, just occasional thought, to what it truly, really means. But that's why we need times like this. The spiritual aspects of our life does not force itself upon us. And God will never force himself upon us. He lets us know that. So then Lent becomes a time when we can make space for what's truly, what's really at the heart of our lives. Amen? Above all, Lent is a time of renewal. That's why I love it this time. Lent is a time of renewal, a time of asking God to help us with the important task of our inner renewal. Again, helping us. We cannot do any inner renewal on our own. We need him. And that's why we need to set this time aside for him. You set this time aside just for yourself, you're going to get bored real quick. But if you open up to God, that time can be endless. Lent is the promise of a new start for all of us. Not a time of discouragement, not a time of sorrow, not a time of guilt. But rather it's a time when we rejoice that God is a God of refreshment, of new life, a God of new beginnings. And that's why it's so important at this point in time. That's why spring is or does happen during Lent. It's a very powerful consequence. And these promises are not empty ones, but are full of the power that comes from Jesus Christ, who comes back to life in the resurrection and back to in our life as we allow him. We literally take this time to resurrect him into our lives and hopefully keep him there, learn how to keep him there and not let him fade or kill him off throughout the year. During Lent, we can have confidence that Christ is bringing us with him into a wonderful new life. And yes, some who are motivated to follow him do make Lent a time of fasting, a time of reflection, a time of penance, a time of searching, a time of prayer. During our 40 days, each of us has an opportunity to prepare for the jubilation, for the joy of the resurrection of Christ on that Easter morning. That's the most important aspect of Lent. Jesus was not, as Enrique said earlier, alone in the wilderness. Yeah, you could say, yeah, the devil was there. No, but he wasn't alone with the devil. Who did we say he was full of and brought him to the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. He was full of, he was filled with God's Holy Spirit. And we're not alone either. Yes, yes, we have each other. But more importantly, we have that same someone else on our journeys, God's Holy Spirit, who gives us the opportunity to encounter God, just as Jesus did, to wrap ourselves around God's word, just as Jesus did. And to claim our identity, just as Jesus did, as being a child of God. And to live that identity, just as Jesus did. Amen? So yes, Lent is, number one, 40 days of letting go, of emptying ourselves, of really thinking about our life with God and allowing him more of that life, more of that life, so that we can live it more abundantly. And two, it's also a time we take to prepare ourselves for truly sharing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so we can fully appreciate more what happens on that Easter morning. And Lent is a time of dying to our old self, our old man, as Paul puts it, the one defined by our culture, defined by our traditions, defined by our worldly habits, and of course, some of us even defined by our families. And then being reborn as we learn to set those aside, as we learn to let go of those, being reborn into a new man, new woman, new identity, one centered in God's Holy Spirit as Jesus Christ was. It means dying to an old way and being reborn into a new way. Yes, being born again in God. I like to put it this way. We're dying to our deadness because that's actually how we're living right now. We're living kind of in deadness. We're dying to the daily routine of our lives that we literally trudge through, oblivious to the needs of others, oblivious to our own true needs, and oblivious to the calling of our Lord. It's a time of reminding ourselves of God's love. And that's what I pray you'll feel most during this time, is his love, as well as his being, his reality, his presence. It's a time to be lifted out of our confinement and to remove, to give up, to let go the feelings of burden, the feelings of mortality, our fears, our doubts. Okay, Ron, so you talked about those patterns, which are going to be hard enough to focus on, but what about something a little more simple, something more practical ways that we can let go in these 40 days? Well, let's try giving up something from like this list. How about 30 minutes more of sleep? Uh-huh. I thought I'd hear a groan. And I don't mean just, you know, for spending more time playing or watching news or soccer or whatever. No, I mean so you can pray, so you can meet with God. Hopefully at the beginning of your day or at the end, either one, borderlines on the different borders of sleep. But yes, for prayer, for reflection, for working out if you need to. How about giving up mindless social media? Notice I said mindless. You can define what's mindless in your own social media time, but as you're sitting there scrolling, how much of that is mindless? And how much of that is opening up to the temptations, just like Jesus did in the wilderness? And here we're opening up, because as we go through there, boy, yeah. And if you're like me, I can resist anything but temptation. How about giving up the elevator or the escalator when you can, when you have the opportunity, huh? Take the stairs? That's an interesting one, especially at my age. What about giving up complaining? Giving up being negative? And along with that, giving up gossiping? Yeah, try that one. See how good it actually makes you feel not to do that. What about giving up buying things you don't really need? Become a minimalist for Lent. A minimalentist. New word, minimalentist. Become a minimalist. How about eating anything after dinner? That'd be a tough one for me. I love that snack. You can see, can't you? What about giving up hot showers? I felt that one this morning. And actually what we're doing is we're kind of feeling the suffering from our brothers and sisters in Texas and in the Pacific Northwest and those without power, you know? Giving up sleeping with a pillow, or at least sleeping with your MyPillow, which means, yes, you spend way too much time watching television. Giving up cracking your knuckles. Please give up cracking your knuckles. Or another please, give up swearing and cussing. How about giving up, this is easier, eating out? We've had to do a lot of that one, huh? And actually realize it's good for us and it's good for our budget. For us being able to do other things. Giving up saying words like and just, you know, every other word in your, not so much your sentences, but your prayers even. Giving up wearing makeup or hair products. All right, maybe that's taking things a little too far. Yeah, I knew he did object. Or you can go to a more traditional list, you know, 40 days where you truly open ourselves to God. And give up time for prayer, meditation, inviting God to live through us as he never has before. 40 days where we examine ourselves, our shortcomings, our judgments, our arrogance, our egos, where we face reality and who we really are and learn to live in the love and the confidence and the acceptance of who God sees us to be and desires us to be. How about 40 days where we remember that we are actually dust, and to dust we will return? And with God's grace, our spirits will be transformed, so in between we can live this life and the life to come more fully, embraced in God's eternal love to do his work in us and his work through us. So let's come to this Lenten season with open hearts, admitting that we're helpless, admitting our helplessness. Our helplessness in saving ourselves, in improving ourselves, in getting any closer to God by stuffing more stuff between us and him. And let's accept the grace and the forgiveness that marks us as children of God. And let's do so with a whole new resolve to be his one body here on earth. And that means opening up to each other as well. Opening up to each other and the Holy Spirit's involvement in each and of our lives. And when we do, I think we're going to find out the truth of what the church really is to be and the true power of the church here on earth. Amen. So Heavenly Father, help us to remember the three truths to live by that Jesus did teach in the scripture today. That we shall not live by bread alone, but by your word as well. And that we should worship you, our God, and serve you alone and only. And that we shall not put you, our Lord, to the test, but instead we should trust in you, open up and let go of things that interfere with our being with you. How you honor us, God, by creating us in your image and giving us the gift of life. And so we want to live in a way that will honor you in everything we do. We want to be like Jesus. We want to see the reflection of Christ in the eyes of everyone that we talk to. We want to be part of the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us and enables us to share love, share concern, share service, to be your true disciples. And so bless us this day and every day with the opportunity to be like your son, Jesus, to make a difference in the world that he has shared with us. And when we are in the wilderness, help us to experience your presence fully. And help us to know that we too are attended by angels, and that we can come out of the wilderness into a world to make a difference in your name. And we pray this in the name of he who has made that greatest difference, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ron. So much practical stuff. I just would say, are you willing to take the journey? Consider those things that he listed there and run with it. Two things came to my mind just as we close in song here together. A song we sang earlier this morning in the bridge, it was talking about a holy visitation where everything is changing. There's no empty spaces when you move. And I think a beautiful aspect of this drawing to God, depending on God, this strengthening of his spirit in us as we endure the tasks before us, whether it's temptation and withstanding that, or whether it's literally an obedience walk. This kind of presence of God is, we are kind of an emptying of ourselves, but it is a full indwelling and filling of every space in you by the Spirit of God. I would just encourage and remember that in this journey. So it is hard. It's tricky. You know, in our brains, we think, well, then how am I going to do it? Jesus is going to do it for you and with you. And so it's that rhythm with him. It's that dependency. And this last song we're singing right now, I just love a couple of the phrases in here. It talks about the kindness of his heart towards you. I just think he's kind about how he navigates this stuff with you. We're so critical on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. And this is half the time why you're stuck right where you are. Mm-hmm. I'll never get out of this. I'm just, you know, and he is so tender and kind. He just, I know, I hear you. I've felt those things. He experienced the things we experienced, but he, by the Spirit of God in him, lived this life without sin so that we would not lose heart or grow weary. And so he just says to you, like, just trust me. I know your heart. And his heart towards you is kind and tender. And I love another couple phrases in here that you're going to hear is just, your mercy is chasing after me. And he's a merciful God. We keep records all the time towards others and ourselves of all the wrongs. How could I ever make it, measure up, be there? God is chasing after you with an incredible amount of mercy, and he just wants you to arrive with him. And that just begins today, as again the next day and the next day. Depend, trust, lean on him. What a great season to do it as we celebrate that together. Let's sing this song. Let's go ahead and stand together as we give him our hearts going into this week.
Kindness of
God bless you guys. Go with Jesus. Have a great week.